Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam, we are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this, you can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right, 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win. Cheers. I don't know if anyone's drinking, cheers. Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin', presented by FanDuel. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, alongside Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson, and our guest today needs no introduction. He's a three-time champ with three different teams and is setting himself up to be the first time across all four major sports to possibly win his fourth title with another team. His name is Danny Green, plays for the Sixers, NBA vet. Hey, Danny, what's up?
How you doing? Thanks for having me. You guys are awesome. And yes, hopefully if the Lakers don't stand in the way, I can try to do it with a fourth team.
Oh, did you hear that? He just said the Lakers.
I mean, they're the defending champs and also the favorites. Right. So, we're in the East. We're trying to just, try to make some things happen, shake some things up.
Okay, so what's going on in Philly? What's one thing actually? Let me start with
Hold
this.
Hold on, Richard's frozen.
What's one thing you love about Philly? Because we have people that send in questions from Philly for you. But what's one thing you love about Philly besides being teammates with Channing's cousin?
Of course, that's number one, being teammates
with Tobias. Number one, gotta be.
I grew up watching Tobias play. We're from the same area, so that's also another reason we're from Long Island. But I think outside of that, just learning about everybody else on the team, Doc, of course. And I think now that restaurants are opening up, food and just convenience to be able to go anywhere. In my neighborhood, it's very dog friendly. I have two dogs. Just being around that type of atmosphere, that type of environment, makes it a lot easier to adjust, even though the weather isn't the greatest. But having snow is refreshing every once in a while. But cold and rainy days are not my my favorites anyway, especially coming from Toronto. We had a lot of it. I'm missing the California weather. But outside of that, everything else has been great.
I was going to say, you spent some time in Cleveland, too, so you know about the rainy days.
Oh,
years ago. Years ago.
No, I did. I Wikipedia, Jed, just because, I always like to do a deep dive. I did not know you went overseas, and, your whole story is crazy. You got drafted by the Cavs, and then you went to the D-League, and then you went to the Spurs, and then end up starting, getting paid, and then now it's nobody talks about that story.
It's a little wild when you look back at it. Yeah, I did have a crazy story. So I was second round draft pick, was with Cleveland for a year, and then they had cut me. I think it was from Manny Harris. It was coaching change. The decision happened, and then Ron left.
Yeah, I don't want to get into why it happened.
But a lot of things changed when the decision happened. I was one of those changes, ended up trying to figure it out. I was at home for a while, went over, went to the D League back then, which is now the G League. Was there for a couple months, got called up to San Antonio. During a lockout, I went over to Slovenia, played there for 4 months or so. A very humbling experience, but, you know, one much needed.
Why do you say that? What was Slovenia like for people that are listening?
They spoke English. Everybody spoke English. It's just overseas experience in general is just different. You know, not everybody can grind and everybody can survive that. You know, you might not be able to get a haircut over there. They don't know how to cut your hair. There's different types of food, different type of lifestyle. You might not be getting paid. You're doing 2-day practices. We weren't getting paid for the duration. We were there pretty much for most of that time. Said traveling is different. You know, you're not traveling the same. It's a very humbling experience. You learn to appreciate the things you have in the NBA. So when I came back, I made sure that I tried to stay and not go back there. But yeah, man, wild stories. And I got lucky starting the starting position with San Antonio. It just so happened that Manu was, you know, had a bunch of injuries. He was getting injured a lot and he had just gotten hurt like 4 games into the season. I think he broke his hand, wrist, something like that. And then they were looking for somebody to kind of fill. RJ was there at the time. I believe he was there. We had James Anderson. We had a couple other guys that were looking to try to fill that role. And then so luckily I played some good defensive possessions.
Oh, your defense was shit. Let's be honest, Danny.
To believe in I could play defense for a couple.
That's what it was. Like,
and then I hit a couple shots, and then they were like, you know, we got to play him. You know, not just 5 or 10 minutes. We play him like 15 minutes a game. And then Manu was like getting a little older. Like, we have to limit Manu's minutes. He started having hamstring problems, and then eventually they're like, all right, we're gonna start him, and then have Manu come with the bench to be able, you know, I guess finish the games. How they want to do it. So I said I got lucky in that aspect of it. But once I came back overseas, man, I kind of try to not want to look back. But yeah.
How much fun? Like, we were there, you know, we were there a year together, year and a half, Danny?
Yeah.
Dog, people don't understand. Like, the Spurs situation. Look, Danny's already laughing.
I know where you're going with this.
Because it's fucking crazy there. Like, it's like basketball. It's like, even Pop calls it, it's like a college team, right? The way, you know, they handle it. It's very similar. But the stories that come out of there, and like, unless you've been there, unless you've like gone through it with some guys, like, you don't understand how comical that shit really is.
Pop is a comedian, stand-up comedian. Outside of the media, obviously, treat you guys differently. The media people, you didn't care to talk to them.
What do you mean, you guys?
I was gonna say you guys and the other guys, the other people when he does
interviews. I mean, all three of us are on the media side now.
Movie. God.
And we were happening to be there during, I think, RJ, we were there during Tony's single days time. So that's why it was a little bit more enjoyable for you, RJ.
Me?
But he had his little house thing. He had his house set up for some events. But
if people don't know, Tony Parker has one of the craziest houses.
Oh, his pool. He added more to his pool,
which makes no sense. Like, why add more to?
He has like a theme park. He has like a water park at his crib. And so we had some good times there. But
And people don't think that, like, water park where he's got a really cool pool. Think water park where he could probably make $100,000 a year, $200,000-$300,000 a year charging admission. Like, that.
Are you talking about? He got Big Surf in his backyard, huh?
Cliff dive, little slides, all types of crazy.
Lazy Susan, bars and kitchens inside the hot tub. Like,
cool to go inside a hot tub. Yeah, it's.
Have you guys been there?
Yes.
Allie, there is nothing else to do with San Antonio.
It was during his single days. Yeah, he had some single, a little short, brief single time. Where he was done and then moved on to there, but during his single time, he had a couple of events where we enjoyed the pool. So yeah,
that's incredible. Okay, so people sent in a lot of questions, as I mentioned. One, someone wanted to know what would the Spurs be without Pop, and you can kind of go that direction. But also, Richard has told one of the best stories I feel on here about Pop when you were on the bus. Right. And about starting or something. And you wrote on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And you set it up to the front.
Remember when Pop would like hand out a list. I'm not sure if that was maybe the year before you got there where he handed, it might have been the year, it was the year before you got there where he handed out a list of like what, like during Lent. So for 40 days, yeah, like we were going to give up something. Like, what did you give up?
It was different each year. I would give up sweets some years, mostly certain foods. I remember Matt Bonner giving up using utensils. He only could use chopsticks for the duration of Lent. Some people gave up using weird stuff, and I'm like, what? Why would you get really? Most of the time, I tried to make it. It wasn't easy, but it wasn't too hard. But for me back then, I used to eat a lot of sweets, so I would usually give up sweets during that
time. I gave up starting, and I put that, and when it sent me.
You would.
Well, at that point, it was literally hilarious. Like, there was probably like a 10 game stretch where like, he was like, hey, we're going to try have you coming off the bench. Cause my first year, like a lot of guys, like I struggled there in San Antonio. I struggled. That's not much of a surprise, but so like, yeah, and you got to keep a sense of humor. So like, he like decided to bring me off the bench. And then like 4 days later, he like drops this, hey, what are we going to give up for Lent? And, you know, being the individual that I am, I'm like I'm giving up starting. And it only lasted for a little, like the not starting only lasted for a week. Knowing Pop, there was probably a chance, like, I'll never fucking start you again.
Yeah.
But dude, the Pop, people don't understand the sense of humor. So I've given stories about how were you there where he cussed out everybody down the line and then got to Matt and was just like, you're just a fucking Matt's like, what the fuck are you?
Yes.
So
yes, I was there for that.
You were there for that?
He gave us detailed cuss outs to everybody. And yes. Matt was just so brief. Matt, you're just a fucking
Christ. The reason why he did that to Matt is so Matt was checking into the game. So Matt goes to the scoring table, right? So Matt had, like, maybe he hadn't played or just, I'm not saying not hadn't played, but he hadn't been in the game. So Matt gets to the scoring table. Matt gets in the game. And on like the very next play, something happens and Pop calls a timeout and he decides to cuss out everyone that's in the game. Mind you, Matt hadn't really been in the game. Yeah. He was just sitting there. Yeah. So he starts at Tony, you're not fucking playing defense. Richard, if I have to fucking tell you to box out one more time, Tim, he just starts going down the line, like going down people, and then he gets to Matt and realizes that Matt hasn't been in the game. He's like, Matt, then you're just a fucking and you're just like,
bro, like, that was my favorite huddles. Because Pop does this thing where when you're new to the team, he's gonna cuss somebody out just to let it set the tone, let it be known you're not safe. So like when I first got cuss out Timmy, Tony, or Manu, just to let me know, like, well, shit, if you cuss out Timmy, I know I'm not safe here. I think we might have got somebody new at that point, maybe because his fuse might have been shorter, but it was funny. I forgot that huddle, but that was one of my favorite huddle stories when he cussed out, but just gave Matt, you're a fucking Jesus Christ. Bob, come on, man.
Did Richard freeze again?
So yeah, I feel like from the outside looking in, it's such a secured organization. Like, you don't hear a lot about San Antonio, right? Like, they just keep their stuff in-house.
Everything tight. Yes, they do keep everything tight.
Yeah. So what is something, like, everyone loves Pop, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like, he's a great guy. I mean, on the court, very intense, but off the court, he's like, you know, grandpa, you know, very soft, especially when he had his grandkids, his daughter around, you know, his grandchild around. So yeah, he was great with that. And he cared about your family. He always asked about how everything was going, knew everybody in your family's name. But on the court, he's going to cuss you out. He's a mean cuss, and he's very, you know, strict and disciplined. But outside of that, he's a great, you know, he's great. He's awesome.
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas was like that. Like, when my first couple of years, like, Isaiah was our GM and went to be our coach my first 2 years in New York, and it was a shit show. So there's a lot going on.
I mean, a
lot going on, right?
Was David Lee on the team? Was David
Yes.
Lee? Yeah, he told me. Yes. I heard quite a few stories from D. Lee.
Man, listen. But like, Zeke would give you a hug, like, how's the family? How's your talk? I got to call your pops, your mom, whatever. And then as soon as the game flipped, he'd be like, you got to kill that motherfucker. I'm like, damn. I'm like, whoa. But like, you know, Zeke's fingers are all over the place. So he'd be like, I'm not playing that bullshit. The first plane ride I ever had, we had to be first to the plane, and you have to help put the bags on the plane. But, you know, everyone had to wear suits. Mm-hmm. So it's freezing cold in New York, and you have to be suited. Dress shoes, dress, you know, socks, not really. Had to have a belt, had to have a tie. or they wouldn't let you on a plane. So I had to hold extra ties and belts and socks for everybody. Man, I got on the plane. I helped put the bags on, got on the plane first. Isaiah walked up and was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you, rookie? Get your ass off this plane." I said, "Be here first, not get on first. You got to wait for all the vets to come." We were standing outside in the cold like this as all the vets just walk in. And they say, "Okay, now you motherfuckers can come up here. Have some goddamn respect." But then as soon as the plane's he's like, "Hey, where y'all eating? I have a good Italian restaurant." You're like, "What?" Dude, but to this day, he's funny. Yeah, he's funny.
Multiple personalities. Gotta love those guys.
Coaches can't be like that today, right?
It's all about your star player. If your star player, like, no, because this is and Danny's to his point. Like, my first year there, we're right before training camp, and he goes, we were starting, they were just kind of establishing tone. He's like, and then last year, fucking Tim, this is like at the dinner before training camp, and so I'm new there. He's like, "Tim, in fucking December, your body fat was 11%. And I was like, let's say 9%. And then in January, your body fat went to 10%. And then it went to 11. So like, what, everybody was just sitting around eating steak and fucking, that's all you guys were fucking doing, right?" And so he's establishing it. And Pop and Tim knew this. It took Tony a little bit of time to adjust. That's why he struggled as a young player. Manu's just crazy. Manu doesn't even know what's going on, where he's at, anything. He just does whatever the fuck he wants to do. He's like Pop's favorite player and the person that drove Pop the most crazy.
For sure.
But it was just more, once you establish that your best player and like a Hall of Famer and an MVP can be cussed to high hell, then everybody else is like, "Well, this is just what it is.
Gotta fall in line. If Timmy gets cussed out, shit, I can't say a damn thing."
No. So. Mm-hmm. That's why Tibbs works in New York with Julius Randle and those guys, but he didn't work in Minnesota. He just needs, that's just his communication style, mm-hmm. right? You're like, "Oh, man," or like Stan Van Gundy is like, he's the complete opposite of Alvin Gentry, right? But mm-hmm. You look at Zion and you look at that team and you look at these guys now, they're doing it. They just a different communication language. And sometimes you need to put it more on the players, right?
For sure. I think today is a different game. It's a different world. The world is not as old school as it was. You can't just cuss him. So Pop, from what I hear now, is not can't be the same guy he was when we were there.
His stars are different, Danny. For sure. His stars are different. And
younger guys are different. The younger players are different too. It's harder to communicate to them or relate to them. So it's a tougher game. It's a tougher game.
Well, even with Kawhi, I never forget this Kawhi's rookie year. You were there for Kawhi's rookie year, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember this, right? I think it might have been like 5-10 games into the season. And Kawhi, no, I don't think anybody knew that Kawhi was going to be this good, but you knew he was good. The minute he got there, you're like, "Oh, this kid can play. He's good," whatever. So he came in, was in the game a little bit, shot a pull-up, in transition, then did something else. Now, mind you, Kawhi was a rebounder defender, elite when he got in.
That was it. He did nothing.
That was it. did nothing else after that. And Pop was very good at establishing roles. And so he did that. He comes in the halftime and just lights into Kawhi. And if you think that you're going to make a fucking impact by scoring in it on this team, that's not what you're supposed to do. And he just went super hard on him. Didn't play him in the second half. Didn't play him.
No, that's Pop. He'll cut. And he let it be known for my first couple of years that he did not care about offense for me and Kawhi. Well, Kawhi obviously started
progressing.
But how many threes you make, you're not going to fucking play if you don't make, you don't play some defense. So I'll get hit five in the first half. And somebody, if I get a back door, somebody comes up a pin down, JJ gets a three, he's going to call timeout within 10 seconds of the start of the first half. And probably not play me the rest of the half. And I'm just like, "Jesus, man."
No, that's how he hit Gary Neal. Gary Neal is one of his dudes.
Were you there for that time when he cussed Gary?
I was there.
If I had any balls, I'd fucking cut your ass tomorrow.
For anybody, and this is the thing. He did it to fucking Steven Jackson, who he won a championship with. And you were there when he cut Steven Jackson. But it was like, "Yo, he's not lying. He's not lying. Like, if he had any fucking balls, I'd fucking cut you." Like, that's what he said to Danny Green, who was it was like the right before like the postseason. Gary Neal hit like a game winner. He was all rookie team.
Yeah,
but he like this is the type of shit he would do. Like Gary, I've told this story on Road Tripping before, where like all of a sudden I'm sitting on the bench, right, and Gary's doing some other shit. Like he missed a shot or did something, and Coach didn't care. If he was mad at Gary, he would come and cuss you out. Yeah. And he would go, came and cussed me out one time. He was like, he comes down the bench. Gary does some shit. He's like, you see that fucking shot? See what the fuck Gary just did? I'd put you in the game, but you'd probably do the same fucking thing.
That's the worst shit in the world. Like, yeah, he'll cuss you out, the whole bench out, for some shit Tony or somebody else did in the game. Like, we're over here. What the fuck do we do? Yeah, and he started this shit because they had turnover in the first quarter. I had one turnover in the first quarter. You have 19 turnovers later. Fucking started it, you piece of shit.
I tell Gary after the game, I'm like, man, Pop was on one a day. He said this to me, and he was like, because I was like, yeah, he was like, oh, I'd probably put you in a game, but you do the same fucking thing. He's like, he said that shit to you? Yeah, he's like, he says that shit to me all the time about you.
Well, apparently he's mastered the one thing that we all strive to do, and that's called balance, because everyone loves him.
He's amazing.
Despite all these stories, everyone loves him.
Like the stories are funny because you love them, right? Like I would play for Pop in a heartbeat. He would probably never have me play for him again, but I would play for Pop again.
He knows how to separate the two for sure. He knows how to separate
right.
The
two. Okay, so let's bring your journey full circle. You're in Philly. You're sitting at the top of the Eastern Conference.
For now, hopefully we can.
For now,
yeah.
If you're top four, come on, man. Listen, if you're top four. If you're in and you're top four, you got home and you're healthy. Yeah. Come on, that's all that really. I mean, you want to be first, like you're not winning an award for being first. You're just like establishing and you're playing good basketball.
Yes,
you've been on winning.
We have even tougher second half of the season schedule when we look at it.
Yes, y'all do.
It's wild.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
What's the strength of schedule? What is it?
Two, three? To give you a rundown, we go from like New York to San Francisco with one day in between. We have San Antonio to Chicago to Houston. We have more back-to-backs, just a weird travel schedule and more back-to-backs basically.
What's been the reason for the success? You guys had a lot of new faces, you got it right there.
Oh no.
Oh, that doesn't look fun.
What is that month on the bottom left there? That month looks trash.
It might be backwards to you guys.
Yeah. Oh, February.
But this is March. Yeah. Chicago, Washington, back-to-back to start. Right away, right after All-Star break. And then we have a long road trip, like 13, I don't know, New York to Golden State, then LA for 5 days, Denver, then Cleveland, then back home. And then, that's a tough stretch right there.
You know what we never talk about? Because, well, maybe it's just because I obviously have to focus so heavily on the Lakers, and there was a lot of discussion about the 71-day offseason. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you?
Jesus. I mean, I feel like, so I explained this other day to people. I said, because when you don't go back, it helped being in a new atmosphere. It's a little more fresh. At the same time, you still have to, there is no walking into, like Lakers probably came back and took their time with training camp. Everybody knew the system. They can, rest some guys. You know what I'm saying? Preseason, all right, you guys not going to play. We can give you some. There was none of that for us. It was me and Dwight got thrown right into the fire into a new training camp and had to learn a new system, be with a new coach and staff. But I said it made it more, I say interesting, or just more, I guess, more excitement because it's newer people, more, as I said, it's refreshing to have a new situation. But yeah, and we also had COVID situations where people had to sit out. So me and Dwight haven't had a game off. We've had to play every game. So we're right into training camp, playing a full training camp. I was lucky because I was traded twice before I got here. So they had to sit, I wasn't cleared for the first 2 or 3 days of training camp. So then after that, but
that's right into job.
It. Yeah, but really lucky as in you could have been, no disrespect to Oklahoma City, but you could have been a part of a rebuild. They could have been like, hey, we're going to have you as a veteran rebuild. And now all of a sudden you're on the number one team in the East before it gets started. Like, was there a moment in your head or did your agent let you know like, hey, no, you're going to keep moving or maybe they'll buy you out?
We're in communication where we kind of knew that it wasn't done yet at the time when it happened. So yeah, but I still said lucky that yes, I did get moved to the situation. Also lucky in the fact that I didn't have to start training. The first 2 or 3 days, probably the hardest I had got a chance to miss. But still,
you're old as shit now. So like missing 2 days of training camp. No. You know, but when you add San Antonio years, you're like, you know, 46. Yeah. You're like 46. When you add, how many years were you in San Antonio?
4 years of college, 7 years in San Antonio.
Yeah, that's a wrap. Yeah,
years overseas.
Yeah, yeah. Once 4 years of college.
I got miles. Guy. I got miles, but I'm still fresh, Channing. I'm still fresh, man. Solid. But yes, I'm getting old as shit, Rich. But hopefully, solid couple more years left in me before I start, you know, doing the Vince Carter thing.
Oh, what's that? Vince Carter just sitting at the end of the bench,
just coaching and doing media and at playing. The same time
while playing
on roster. Yeah,
that's what I was doing. I was doing that. I was doing
commentating the games while he's on roster. Yeah. Like, what the hell is Vince playing, or is he working the games?
That's the best gig when you're coaching, you're mentoring, and you're doing media. Like, you're getting paid on multiple fronts, man. It's great. And your job is still just to stay in shape. That's the best job in the league.
Oh, that was the best.
Yeah, because you can drink every night because you don't have to worry about playing. You get to drink every night. You get to travel.
You know you're not going anywhere.
No. Hey, listen, my last 4 months of Cleveland was the best, right? Because it was like the coaches were like, hey, Che, you want to go to the gym? Let's just play a little half-court one-on-one. Okay, cool. Me and Big Dan were playing one-on-one, shoot for like money, for dinner money. And then be like, all right, let's go watch some film so I can cuss these kids out. And we watch film with the young guys. Like, we just watched this. And Dan goes, see, that's why I said, listen, I don't know if I could be a coach, man. I got no patience for this.
I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I'm going to stay with the media.
Dude, because I just be like, what are y'all thinking? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, we can't be this dumb. I look at players, I'm like, we can't be this dumb. There's no way we're this dumb.
Think
about Pop is 100 times older than you guys. Think about what he looks at you guys. Like, these dudes are idiots.
The hardest part about being that vet in that spot is when, like, you look at the coaches like, y'all gonna let this shit fly? Right? Like, that's the hardest part. Oh. I kid you not. That is the hardest part. That is the hardest part about being, and that's why some coaches get intimidated about vets, because vets know the real. They know, like, okay, this is unacceptable. They know, like, I'm not going to name names, all of a sudden a guy would be one of your best young players would not be at shoot around because his foot he had, you know, athlete's foot or something, but then he didn't get treatment in the morning and the coaches aren't snapping at this dude. The coaches are like cracking jokes with them. And I'm like, dog, you need to be making an example of him. Like, I know he's going to play tonight, but you got 15 other guys that are looking at one of your best players that just didn't get treatment in the morning. And it's like, not saying that you're not going to talk to him, but it makes me anxious thinking about like not getting treatment and just showing up saying my foot is hurt.
Not even the young guys, even some of the veterans, you look at them like, what the hell's going on here?
But veterans are different to a certain degree,
certain veterans,
right?
You gotta be that dude.
An example you have to lead by, and you're like,
yes,
right, somebody needs to say something or do something. Something needs to change.
Yeah,
you'll say what you say your piece, and at a certain point, you're just like, all right, I'm not fighting anymore. I'm just gonna do my job. We win, if we lose, we lose. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'll be all right.
I was gonna say I'll be all right with three rings, three different teams over here. No big deal. I feel like this is a perfect time to let everyone know, in case you missed it. And Danny, we're gonna use you as our reveal, if you will. Road Tripping has a phone number, and so we're taking voicemails, we're taking calls, we're taking text messages. And so, in case you hadn't heard, we want you to hit us up 657-5 call Road Tripping, but it's call RT. Okay. So 657-5 call RT. And we had someone, this kind of all brings this full circle, Danny. We had someone send a text message in and they said, hi, this is Di from Philly to you, saying you've already accomplished so much, including three rings. Is winning another championship still on your list of future accomplishments, or are you content with the success you've already earned? So you just said that you're feeling fresh. Perk, our guy Perk, said the other day that he thinks that you will get a ring before KD gets another one, before Braun gets another one, and also Kim K. Perk said.
With that route. Hope.
Who will get their next ring first?
All right, so we have LeBron James is even, KD plus 130, Danny Green 7-1, then Kim Kardashian is 9-1.
Kim's 9-1 and Danny's 7-1. Okay. Okay.
What you think,
Pert? What you think? Who's going to get their next ring first?
I'm going with Danny Green.
Yeah, that's a good one. 7-1 odds.
7-1. Put a cool 200 on that. Yeah, I'm going with Danny Green. Because look, I'm telling you, I know you watched the game last night.
Yep.
Philly is for real. I'm telling you, Philly is for real. They're committed to the defensive end. And look, Danny Green, people can say what they want. He steps up when he needs to.
Yep.
I know he had that one moment where he didn't hit the shot at the top of the key. But guess what? He bounced back the next game and had 14 points. So Danny Green is battle-tested. He knows what it takes. And this Philly team is really, really good.
Perk said that. With that said, to die from Philly.
Yes. To answer your question, never satisfied or content where I'm at. I don't think anybody. There's always a new challenge each year. No matter how old you are, I think for everybody is always some type of it's competitive nature of us. We have to prove ourselves, reprove ourselves. And there's always people say, oh, you won a ring because you had this. I mean, obviously it's a team sport. You had players to help you win a ring. It's not that you did it by yourself. But you always have to, you know, prove to yourself and others that you can still play. You're still either a starter in this league or a rotational player in this league or a high level player in this league or somebody that can still win in this league or help a team win in this league. So I think that's what it is for me. Yes, I still want to chase a fourth ring. To do it, obviously, outside of organizations that I haven't been with because of certain, obviously, criticism, whatever people want to say. They talked a little shit on media, Twitter, Instagram. But, yeah, yes, I do want to win another ring. Obviously, I want to win one here. And if not, hopefully, wherever that may be before it's all said and done. I'm not greedy. I am happy that I have three.
Be greedy. No. Be greedy.
Super greedy.
But be greedy,
as,
Danny.
Yes. As an athlete, as a competitor, you're just naturally greedy. You want more. You want to do more. You want to achieve more. So, yes, I do want to win one here. And hopefully we stay healthy. I've been healthy, luckily, this far. Hopefully the rest of the team can stay healthy. I think we have a good shot in the East. And once you get there, you just have to get there. When you get there, you never know what's going to happen. That's what Tony said to me in 2013 before we got there. He said, anybody can get hot. And once you just get there, he said, might be able to get Miami. So you just win a game or two on the road, and you never know. And, we got there. Unfortunately, we didn't get in 2013. We came back 2014. We got it. But, even in Toronto,
Spurs are notorious for losing one and showing back up the next year pissed off. They did that against Dallas when they lost against Dallas because Manu with
they're
that
like
block.
A bang, motherfucker.
Yeah, and then they showed up and crushed it. I got to talk about this. So I stayed off social media while I was a player because I just really didn't give a shit. And I understood, there's benefits to it now. Like you talked about mentions, and you had an incident during the bubble where look, we as competitors and players and guys that have been a part of this, we understand that fans go, too far, but let's take that situation out. How do you personally handle when people, and you go from LA fans to Philly fans to Spurs fans. I know Toronto fans are the nicest of all time. Yeah. They're the easiest.
Yeah, you're going to have a good game tomorrow, eh?
Yeah. It's a great game. It's
over 8, at least you weren't over 10, huh?
how do you handle that, dog? Because it's like on a random day, you can't even I'm gonna get on Twitter and check to see what the news is, and all of a sudden Twitter is just guys,
it takes years of it takes years of patience and practice of blocking and ignoring people. Obviously when you're a youngster, a lot of that stuff probably bothers you more, and the New York in me, just sometimes I want to say some shit to some people just to, because I we talk shit in New York, but it's it's really not worth it to talk to somebody that they're probably not even real. They just want a response that make their day, even if you give them a response, whether it's good or bad. So it took some years of a lot of patience and ignoring and hitting the block button to try to deal with that. But a lot of times it said ignoring it, getting off it, staying away from the negative comments.
Do you have days?
I feel like there's days I want to just have a full day of just talking shit to everybody that has something.
You got to the day where you got time.
When I have time. I'm thinking I'm gonna wait till I'm done playing. When I'm done playing, I'm gonna be like you. I'm gonna have time and respond to all the bullshit DMs and the tweets.
Yeah, you see, that's all shit. I do, right?
I see, it's fucking hilarious, bro. I can't get enough of it. It's amazing.
You gotta pick it. You gotta pick the right time. Cause I'm not gonna just feed everybody that wants to talk shit to me and some things, but it's just like every once in a while I'll have an interaction. Do you have days where you're like, look, we've all had them, like an 0-for-7 night, and you're I ain't getting on social media.
Just fucking, so leave it alone. Definitely.
Yeah, it's like, today ain't the day for social.
Nah, ignore social media. Just leave basketball alone, sports alone. I'm just gonna go watch a series, a show. And just not even think about
it. What are you watching right now?
I just finished Behind Her Eyes, which was really good. It was good.
I've never heard of it.
It's on Netflix. It's top 10. It's probably number 2 in the US right now on Netflix. Series, one season, 6 episodes.
Quick.
It was good. It was very ominous. Like, you don't know what the hell's going on. And toward the end, it starts revealing what's going on and some good twists to it.
Nice. I love twists.
Danny, you're the best. We appreciate you always. Real quick, before we let you go, because I know Rich just has to run as well. You're still doing Inside the Green Room?
Yes, ma'am. We are. Right? Not as often, but we're still working some deals here in Philly. It's not as nice as LA laid out the red. It's not as easy, I guess, LA laid out the red carpet for us to get so many sponsors and deals and, you know, Spectrum. But we are working on some things, getting deals here. But yes, we're still doing Inside the Green Room.
It's so crazy that Inside the Green Room and Road Trippin' was on Spectrum Sportsnet and not any of us came together in that studio to do an episode. Yes. But yes, here we are.
Trying. Yeah, there's always time. Me and Danny were about to connect and then shit just got weird.
You're the best. Continued good luck the rest of the way. We'll see what happens with
good
Philly.
Good luck to you guys.
But yeah.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
Another edition of Road Trippin'.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam, we are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this, you can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right, 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.